a little bit of everything and do some singing, some dancing, some chatting with the guests, the skits, the monologues, the comedy.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Wonderful comedy.
It really is a lot of fun.
Space, the final frontier.
Oh, never mind, scrub it. No big deal. No space for you. I sat and watched 45 minutes of that.
See you on Saturday.
Yeah, well, we'll do it Saturday. Sorry, I love that NASA television cleared like 5 hours of broadcasting. Like, where they are, eating potato chips. Here they are, climbing a ladder. Here they are. Here we are loading gasoline. Here we are doing this. Here we are doing that. 20 minutes. We'll find out if this thing goes because the weather's horrible.
Wait a minute. There's NASA television?
Oh, NASA TV's been a network for years.
Really?
Yeah, but they don't do anything. But like you'll see a satellite image of Earth for like – if you're high, you know about NASA TV because it basically is
and you got that
one. Space pictures for hours. And then occasionally back in the old control center and a bunch of dudes are sitting around looking at each other going, yeah, and hitting keyboards.
Today in the Space Center, we focus heavily on the telescope that's gone awry and could smash into Jupiter. Let's watch.
The guys are like, has it hit it yet? Nope.
It will take 3 years for the telescope to get to Jupiter.
I'm like, we're 3 years ahead and we're talking about it? We got time. Everybody get a snack.
I don't think I get it on the sling. I'm slinging it right now.
Oh, you're slinging? Yeah, probably not. Probably tough. Well, but I think you can get it online.
C-SPAN 2.
Oh, they were all
And then
it.
Discovery Channel is doing a, you know, that this is their big push this month.
Yeah.
Carrying it. And that one, at least, they filled it with a little added programming in between. The C-SPAN would have some interviews, and then it was just dead air, more or less. You're just seeing a picture of them.
These guys sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
And C-SPAN's good at that, just showing people sitting around.
That's called Congress. They, har.
Yeah.
It's the fun part was, we've gotten real kind of casual about our astronauts because if you're over 40, you were laughing every time they'd be like, and Bob and Doug are up in the capsule right now. And I'm like, we're sending Elsinore to the space? This is Bob and Doug McKenzie or what? All right, host heads, it's cloudy. What are we going to do next, eh? And they kept saying,
help.
They kept saying Bob and Doug. And I'm like, what happened to the formality of space travel? We say Armstrong and Aldrin, or, you know, like, give me some Bob and Doug.
But then it doesn't get any better because I know the one, it's Bob Bacon.
Bacon,
Coach Bacon and whatever that guy's name.
But they kept saying, Bob. And they wouldn't say Doug and Bob to mix it up. It kept reiterating the fact that we were going to the castle with Rosie LaRose and getting Bob and Doug the Elsinore they need off the space station, and the Russians were in the way. So it was just hilarious. But SpaceX...
And I kept waiting for the countdown.
Super exciting.
Three, two, one. Yeah. Take off!
The guys, I kept singing it. And I'm like, just call them by their last names. And they find out their names, Bacon and Labrador or something. And they're like, all right, that's not better. It's a cartoon now. But Aldrin, Armstrong. Now, those were names like Aldrin and Armstrong sitting in the capsule. But Bob and Doug, it's like they're my neighbors. I want my astronauts to be special or extraordinary.
What do you think of their suits? Their weird
pretty cool.
Suits.
I like them.
I kept
you like them?
Yeah, they're future. I'm like, futuristic. Man, they have streamlined.
Yeah, they're kind of neat. They look like if a movie came out and it's predictive of like 1980s space travel suits. It looked like what they thought we would be wearing.
They're not marshmallow men.
Yeah, exactly.
Anymore.
I'm like, are those real? Even the helmet coming down. I'm like, sweet. That's a movie prop, isn't it?
Sweet.
It is.
I know two people that. Hit me to the thing. I can't say the name of the company, but they were supposed to make the shields for their helmets. I don't even know if they got the contract.
Glass.
No, I don't know what it was, but they showed me the prototype of this thing. Oh, it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And they're like, I don't know if we get the contract, but this is our submission. And I'm like, oh, that's the neatest. And SpaceX said, you do it, you do. And so it was a private business launch. It was it would be like if, you know, Porkopolis or Brady Sauce decided to build a spaceship. It's just some private business that said, hey, we want to build rockets and put people in it.
We need to lease your launching pad.
You know, we have trouble with our touchscreens here in the computer, and we've got Marcus on call pretty much 24 hours a day.
Could you imagine?
That whole spaceship is touchscreen.
Yeah, that's a little freaky when I heard that.
Man,
I was like,
I want levers. I call me old-fashioned, but give me a lever or a knob that backs up that thing. And the one
and they really didn't talk about the backup system.
They don't have one. Bob did.
Manual.
Bob said, because I was watching Bob and Doug in a earlier interview, and like, the amazing thing is it flies. Like, the piloting is touchscreen. He said, we have two manual knobs that we use. And I'm like, what about the backups? The backups are another program. So they basically, if the touchscreen shuts down, they've got a secondary program that comes through that turns it back on in another way. And they're like, so the backup is also touchscreen backup, with an extreme problem being that these astronauts better figure it out, like Apollo 13 or whatever it was, 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob and Doug are in a drone, more or less a rocket.
Yeah, they're basically waiting to come back. The thing basically just throws them into space. And then when they jettison that, they just start shooting towards the guide. But, you know, you still have to, is the fuel all right? Are we leaking? That kind of stuff.
You think we get, we're rattled at our house because we're not getting a good signal?
Oh. Yeah, are you 5G? Oh, my Wi-Fi. I'm not getting it. I got to use the phone. I wonder if they do hot spots, if they get a little dead spot in space. You and they hot spot it.
Troubleshoot all of that.
I don't understand one thing. It got scrubbed yesterday after hours of like waiting, and people. There's a lot of people texting me, "You gonna watch the space launch?"
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I got something to do it too. But hopefully, 1:30, knock it out. I'll sit and watch that. That's neat. And I kept getting this, you know, odd feeling because I'm like, there's clouds. Why can we intentionally fly airplanes through lightning storms? Like you go after it. Why can't something going 70,000 miles an hour by the time it hits clouds?
Because of the
can't
fact
just
that
break through.
Well, or if that gets hit by lightning, maybe it reacts different.
I suppose that's why. But they say lightning like is drawn in, but planes have that too. Like they're designed to get hit.
But if planes can fly around it,
They'll fly around a storm for our comfort.
Yeah,
but we have planes, storm planes that go through hurricanes on purpose.
Yeah.
To find the worst parts.
But yeah, all these years we have not. Yeah.
Yeah, but rockets can't fire through a storm, which, I mean, think about it. Every time you've flown, you know, the cloud level goes from like 30,000 to 10,000. You'd be through that so fast in a rocket, because when they used to show the space shuttle speeds, I'm like, is that real or is that a good, it's like 240,000 miles an hour. It's like, just blazing across the. Like, that thing is screaming with those rockets. It could go through a cloud.
And I wonder if it's so basic that they want it clear for the visibility from the base.
Were they at Cape Canaveral?
You worried about hitting something? Yeah, I think they were in Florida.
Yeah. My dad lived right there. He can see it from his house.
There were people traveling, like, from other countries. They were interviewing on the NASA channel because I started to giggle a little.
They extended their stay.
Trump and Pence flew down yesterday to go watch it. And then they had these guys were from, like, someplace in South America that – made the trip, and I'm like, well, first off, thanks for bringing your COVID up here. It's not a great time to South America to America travel to watch this kind of stuff. But they're like, it was worth it. And I'm like, you're talking yourself into that. Can I get one guy on the line who goes, this is a mess. I risked my whole life through the coronavirus to go watch a rocket go off, and now I have to go. And he's going home Friday. He's going to miss the relaunch on Saturday if that happens at all. It's still bad weather Saturday. So.
He told me they're doing all types of launches there, like secret military launches and stuff. Like,
but
he goes down there
people,
and watches them.
With no people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Rockets with people on it. First time since 2011. I guess that kind of flew by. But
and it's interesting to hear the story. It's like not that big of a deal, but like you know, as the astronauts for Bob and Doug, the delay on launchings, sometimes they go back, they don't go anywhere. They stay there until Saturday, and they'll keep repeating it. And some of these astronauts they interviewed were like, oh, yeah, we've had it scrapped 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, one dude was like,
waited months.
We're totally trained for scraps more than they are actual launches because they scrap them in simulation like 100 times to let them know, here's the protocol. And then NASA, as I was sitting there getting ready to leave, I was just about to go. The channel, I was like, all right, and now they're taking off the rest of the potato chips. And here's the bucket of chips that's leaving the shuttle. And now we will drain this should take 10 minutes. They drained fuel for 10 minutes, and they showed it. A guy just hooking this thing up and standing there. And I'm like, man, NASA, that is a patient bunch.
Why don't they do it here?
Because of water. You got to have a place in case you have to abort and the capsule has to jump off.
That's true.
You have to throw it in water.
Our lakes are too small.
Yeah. Southern California, maybe?
They do have Southern California has, what is it? I forget the name of the base. Van something something.
It's just you got better weather than Florida. Rains all the damn time.
Yeah. Yeah, Florida is, I don't understand that either. But they could do it here. They could do it. Houston has that because you go over the Gulf. But this way, if you get, because it goes so fast, if you get up left or right over Florida, you're going in the Gulf or you're going in the ocean.
We got Tempe Town Lake, man.
And we got that. Yeah, we got them. I mean, on the off chance that thing goes, you know, these astronauts could train to land in the canal. We got water. It's just a matter of you finding the right
patch. Yeah,
if
you're a good pilot, you can get it right in there.
You know what you're doing. I could plunk a capsule into Tempe Town Lake. It's pretty good size. Scare the hell out of that rowing team. They wouldn't see that coming.
Yeah. Ducks would freak out.
Yeah, the ducks wouldn't like it. Granada Park has two lakes. Forget it. I ride my bike around those all the time as a cool down. We could plunk them down. Yeah, and I think heat's an issue. I don't, like, you know, if they had to, they burn up the ground and start fires here because it's so dry. I don't know.
If it can't take Arizona, then what the hell?
I mean, the thing can handle 110 degrees.
The launching point is a better angle.
They have no clue how to or where to put it.
From the East Coast.
Yeah, they've talked about desert launches. They do have, you know, white sands, but they don't launch from white sands. They land there. So, yeah, I don't know. You'd think that they'd find someplace along the coast that doesn't rain as much. Florida's nothing.
You have to, because scrapping all these missions has to cost a little money, I would imagine.
Probably not cheap. SpaceX lost a couple bucks yesterday.
They made it back on sponsors.
I'll tell you
programming.
This. I watched a special. Oh, man, I tell you, the advertisers got. I remember Downey came on in the middle. I'm like, I'm going to do some laundry and sit and watch these poor launches.
It's as great as Al Capone's vault, right?
Oh, it was similar to that. Although Al Capone's vault, Geraldo never once said, we might find nothing. He was always telling us what we were going to find. These guys constantly reminded you. It's like, folks, tuning in for the last 4 hours for this? It's a good chance this won't happen. It's a real good chance you're going to watch for nothing.
They were setting expectations immediately.
You learned protocol yesterday. That's about it. So here's the amazing thing, though. I watched a special on this online Saturday. If in fact, this thing becomes like relatively easy, they said in 40 years they'll have hotels and stuff. Like places
in space?
Because this will become...
40 years?
Yeah. They said that they can get this done in 40 years because they can... If this becomes normal, they can shoot this thing up there like every few days because that's how confident private business is in saying, well, you give us a launching pad to use. We'll throw 5 or 6 of these up there and we'll build something space station size in no time and then people can go up. And they can... I would do it in a heartbeat if
they
said, space would be...
Did that Russian that was stuck up there for about a year.
Yeah, he's good. Megan said yesterday, I said something about going up and she goes, because I told her that. I said, I saw this thing. I said, 40 to 50 years, they could have stuff up there for visiting purposes. Like, you know, like the Grand Canyon. They'd have one place you go up. You see, it's not going to be like, you know,
like
a Vegas strip. It's going to be a place for you to sleep. They take 6 or 7 people up there. It's an observation deck, and you get to stay and eat and then leave. And I said, and it would, you know, be like a day or two or whatever up there. And Megan goes, wouldn't that be boring? What would they? I'm like, you're in space. And this is the same woman, though. I took her to the Grand Canyon. Sunset hits the Grand Canyon. She'd never been. She's from Arizona. Never been to the Grand Canyon. Sunset hits. And you hear audible, from people around you. Like, they're melting in the majesty of nature. Oh, honey. Marriages are rekindled, like standing there, like, I forgive you for everything. We're so small in this gigantic world.
It's a reset.
And it's this, I mean, you hear people like, I love you so much. Men are crying. And Megan goes, I don't know. It's all right, I guess. I'm like, well, how hard are you to please? Like, visually, your eyes don't work. I'm attractive. The Grand Canyon's meh. And space, I don't know. What is there to see out there? Other than space and the Earth from a perspective no one's ever seen.
I get bored.
What do you want, like shuffleboard or something? You got to
entertain me.
Seems like she has high expectations.
I guess
she married
but
you.
Again, then there's me. I don't fit her mold of,
I expect the best and I expect anything.
What the hell are you talking about?
Once you're there, then what?
I'm like, I don't know. Majesty of space?
Seems boring.
Need a hike. I need to do activities.
They have a gym and amenities?
Yeah, they've got space.
Is there a space spa?
What about her hair?
Well, I told her, I said, it's the same thing as those huts that everybody always raves about down in Fiji that are in the middle of the water.
Yeah.
Once you're there.
And you're elevated
on the
water.
There's nothing to do.
Look at that crystal clear water.
I talked to someone who went there, $10,000 a night for the one they got. And they're like, you go there and they walk you to your hut and you're just like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Like, this water is ridiculous. And then the guy tells you, rain in the morning, and then he leaves. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want to do? And you spend the first night on your balcony realizing you can't do anything but get in the water, and there's nothing. The island's the size of like a car park.
Yeah.
It's like, it's tiny. And that's why they built it out in the water. And they're like, it's beautiful, but we booked 7 days, and by day two, we're like stir crazy. You can't leave.
I bet.
You're in your room. It's just the beauty of what you see every day. And after a while, you get used to it.
And you feel bad.
The food was
good. Beautiful, but I'm...
Right. Food was good, but options were limited. And he's like, and we spent like $100,000 on this trip. And weren't real happy with it in the end because it was blown up. Same thing with space. You know, you can stay forever, but, you know, I'd still want to go to those Fiji huts. I'm not spending $10,000 a night or anything, but good Lord.
If it's a couple of days, like you're saying, if they could do that.
Oh, yeah, shoot up there and take a look and just go,
all
right.
It's like a three-month journey.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, that's taking some time.
Depends on the company.
Although,
people, I mean, you think about Everest.
People take cruises for a full year.
Yeah.
Like, they have those around-the-world 11-month cruises. So, I mean, there are people willing to do it. I don't know that, I mean, I'd have to be.
Are they going to be bidding on parts and, like, you know.
No, it's private industry. Thing?
No, so I know. That's what I'm saying. But the private, they want to save money, too. So
yeah, but not like the government.
Are they getting the cheapest stuff?
The government's low at lowest bidder every time because that's the rules. The private guys, like, you know, Elon Musk is going to oversee what gets in there. And so, yeah, there's probably
going to
be.
Elon Musk, I might trust
that. That's our guy. There's people who will throw. I'm not going to take.
If Walmart's opening a.
If Spirit Airlines decides to get into this business, I'm going to look at a discount air travel through space. I'm going to give that another 100 years.
You're going to take the Nerf rocket?
Right, yeah, no.
Yeah, it depends on the company.
I like Elon Musk. He's proven himself crazy inventor, and those are always good. It'll be fun until we have our first catastrophe.
I might give it a.
That's a guarantee, by the way.
I'm not going in on the first couple of.
No, no, no. I'll watch.
Yeah, I would. I'd want to be historic either direction.
At this point, what do you?
True, that's right.
I would rather be historic either way. It's like, I mean, you'll never forget Krista McAuliffe. Now, did she go out pretty? No, but you'll never forget her. She's legendary.
She was a little young, though. Like, what?
Yeah, it's too early. But I'm saying, look, if the risk reward factor was in there. She knew the risk, and she's like, I want to be in on this. Be the first civilian in space, and she was. The first civilian. Well, I don't know if she made it to space. That doesn't.
No,
count. That
she
doesn't
even really, get out of the atmosphere.
Didn't get really out of the cloud about? Cover. So, first one to launch towards space in a rocket.
God, that sucks.
Now, I would say, yeah,
I don't even get that record. Right?
I would want to be one of the first ones. After a while, it's going to be, you know, mundane travel. There's going to be lines and security and annoying poor people with their shirts off that have to be told they can't get on the plane. And so, yeah, but I would like to be, you know, one of the first because.
Be the first bald impressionist
in
space.
That's right. Hey, you know what? If it happened, it'd be like, that guy. Remember that guy? Yeah, I do. He was doing, like, Al Pacino for no reason at all.
Your voices are all, because of the compression, really high in space.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Al Pacino in space, everybody. Whoa. Hey, Earth is a great ass.
It doesn't work.
What's happening?
Doesn't really sound like him.
Hey, how you doing? What do you want to hear? I have a very specialized set of skills. Makes me a nightmare for a spaceman like you.
What is that, Liam Neeson, or you have a cold? Yeah, so I, you know, look, I would want to be first. And the bad thing about being first is if it's a success, it's forgotten. So really, being one of the first ones up, you want to be the first blow up to be immortalized. But that doesn't scare me. That doesn't bother me. If I got on a rocket, I'd know. I don't want to die, but I'm like, I'm on a rocket. Good chance this thing goes sideways or pear-shaped on me, and so I blow up. But I would love...
And your history, yeah.
I would love to go to space.
History.
Yeah, you're forever history when you blow up. Blowing up, your history. There's a lot of people who get blown up that become history because they blew up. And a lot of people who made it to space. I mean, name anybody from the other Apollo missions after Neil and Buzz.
Right.
Even the third guy. There was a third guy on that first one. People always forget.
Shepard?
Yeah, no, he didn't go up. Yeah, exactly. The first two, the guys on the moon, there was a third dude who went
Bob
all the way
Doug,
there, didn't get to get out. But I do like the informality of, hey, it's Bob and Doug, everybody. They brought bacon. Oh, that's his last name? This is great. Bob, Doug, here's your rocket. Everybody hop on.
Marshmallow Man blew up. He's famous.
Yeah. And you can name one or two Ghostbusters, but you can't. But the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man is immortalized in his exploding nature. People who blow up, Mr. Creosote. From Monty Python.
Oh, yeah.
He blew up. I don't remember the waiter's name who served him that wafer-thin mint, but I do remember Mr. Creosote because he exploded. People exploding, very memorable. Very memorable. But, yeah, I'd love to go to space. I think that would be awesome. It would be incredible. And just that view, just early on, once it starts to become boring, and then we're going to start looking for more, and then the moon's a shot.
You get to float around.
But that was amazing.
That's kind of cool.
To say 40 years from now, and I know that's a shot because I used to say 40 years from now, we'll have flying cars and babies and vending machines. It's a shot. But, I mean, with private industry, things go twice as fast. You saw that 202 up there was privately built, and a five-year state project got done in like 14 months because private does things faster because it's their job and they don't have to worry about, you know, pricing and state red tape and things like that. So it is faster for sure, but they said 40 years. Space travel for humans where they stay in space, Very possible.
I don't know about the sleeping thing.
20 years.
Sleep upright.
If the 40 years thing, well, that, and that's why they take you to that space station they'd build, because then you could actually lay down and be normal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So it would be like a room.
They show those astronauts, like, stuck against a wall.
Yeah, it's it, well,
doesn't look comfortable.
Not at all. And you give them some, you know, you give some folks some Adderall or maybe a sleeping pill or something. You just stay super focused or go right to sleep on the trip. You wake up, you're in space, you have some fun. But if this goes faster, they said 10 years, we'll have, you know, passenger space travel, just like train rides through the canyon.
Oh,
you know,
10 years.
10 years.
He's crazy. You're crazy.
10 years. That's what they were saying.
What article are you reading?
No, because they have they don't really, you don't realize how many SpaceX things have gone off without people. They're like, we've got this down. We can put people on this thing.
They've been telling me about flying cars all these years.
Now they got them. It's a tour. Now they jumped over flying cars into want to go see space for a little bit. Give me $10,000, and they're, you know,
I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Buy it, because it's going to start happening pretty darn soon. Especially well, now, if SpaceX blows up Saturday, then it's going to definitely
could be a
hinder
setback.
That. But they've had a plan. I mean, Richard Branson, the Virgin Airlines guy, has the plane to do it. He's just got to get permission. I mean, they've got the touring spaceship with like 9 windows on the side,
glass bottom.
It's ready to go.
Elon Musk makes cars. Why can't he make flying cars?
You're
first?
Big on the flying cars.
I am.
He likes rockets now.
You know what? I found a journal from like fourth grade I had to do, and in there I wrote, "The future will be great, and flying cars," and I drew diagrams.
How
of flying
did you
cars.
Read all of that over the big red F on the paper?
Yeah.
I did have pretty bad grades.
Yeah. It was a surprise.
I showed my daughter, and it was like DF in one class. Mm-hmm. That was math, though. Everybody struggles in math, right?
I was just in a different tuning, I tell people.
No, but seriously, I'm drawing flying cars in fourth grade and still nothing. And you're talking about building hotels in space
it's
in 40
so much
years.
Easier to there's build.
Give me a break,
but you look at it, there's no real reason to have the flying car.
Right. Here's the other thing.
Yeah, there is.
Nope,
no, that's cool.
You got
there's
other
cool
means.
Factors, but the infrastructure would have to be completely rebuilt worldwide, whereas with space, pick a spot. There's no roads to build. It's just a rocket. Go for it. You don't have to rebuild
watch
roads. You don't have to move power
satellite.
Lines. Yeah, yeah. Occasionally something might drift
some
by.
Space junk.
Reach out your window and push. But yeah, I mean, it's just a wide open frontier with no wires, no buildings, no nothing. It's easier to do that than go, all right, flying cars. Now everybody in the world has to upend what they do. We have to move power lines. It would take years for that thing to be rebuilt.
You start in the small places. You go to, you know, Montana or whatever.
And then you keep them corralled.
Right.
No flying cars past Bozeman. And people are like, why the does Bozeman have all the cool stuff? I'm taking a flying car over to Vegas. And then you'd have that. And then it would just be dudes tied up in power lines like Mylar balloons. Everybody's power's out every third day. We can't even drive right. I don't want flying cars anymore because of this wrong-way driver problem. I had another one last night. If we can't figure out how roads work directionally, I don't want people figuring out flying cars en masse together. Forget that.
Oh, be a wreck.
These idiots.
Beyond.
Have you been on the freeway? These morons. The dude next to me this morning on 52nd Street in the freeway getting off had some Camaro. And I have no doors in my Jeep right now. His windows were down. So I pull up. I turn my radio down. And I don't want him hearing when I, for some reason, I kept that real private. It was a commercial. And so I kept turning it down. Like, yeah, I didn't need to know. And for no reason, next to a Jeep, which is a cracker box shape of zero speed, dude just hammered on his Camaro. And he's looking at me nodding. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll race you in my box. Brand new Camaro, too. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. Didn't say anything. And then the light turns green and he's still looking at me. And I just start going. And he couldn't get it back into drive or whatever he was doing. So it's just making a ton of noise at the light. I beat him all the way to our parking lot before he just goes down 52nd Street. I'm like, man, I don't know if there's a trophy at the end of this, but you got
it.
Did
you hold up a number one?
Well done. No, I didn't know the end destination. I was going to work. So I think I pulled off midway through and he's like, ah, he's got a pit stop, man. He overheated. I'm like, no, I work here. So I stopped where I didn't know we were racing, sir.
I still chuckle whenever I see like a Honda Civic that does that.
And you'll get somebody who emails that goes, hey, Civics and CRXs, those are the fastest. And I'm like, oh, come on. I don't want you people to have flying cars. That's the more I think about the flying car thing, the more I realize how cool it would be for me and no one else because I don't want you guys to have it. Because I don't want to be floating around and go, this guy's pushing me into the power lines. He, son of a bitch, doesn't know what he's doing. I'm learning on the go. It would be like having all student drivers in a day. No thanks.
You make valid points.
Yeah, these are strong, strong flying car points. Now, How about this? Flying cars like the Stanley Cup. Everybody gets a day with it.
Ooh, yeah.
There and you just get a day with your flying car, and it's scheduled ahead of time. You get one. We monitor. Like, there's only 15 at all times in any population of more than 20,000 people. And everybody gets one, and you sign up for it, and you get your flying car for a day. And you go tool around and go, hey, you want to take a ride in my flying car? And then you go do stuff. But you get it for 24 hours and you got to return it, or it returns itself.
Yeah, you could like this quarantine, a phased system where you kind of slowly drip it out.
You squeeze out 15, 20 of them. Everybody gets it. That's fantastic. And then it's gone forever from you until next year when you get it again. But
did you see Disneyland, Florida? So
we're going to pop it open again. That's right.
July.
Can't wait.
Looking at it.
July 11th.
It's got to get approved.
Now, hold
Disney
on a
Disney World,
second.
I mean.
Disney World in Florida may open in July. Yeah. The coronavirus is still a thing. And also, we may still be sweeping up SpaceX. Right next to it.
Right next to it,
You don't want to necessarily count on that because we still be picking.
2020 has been awesome, John. I can't see any problems.
Let's get them up there Saturday.
Yeah. I said that last night. This was my 20. I don't like blaming the year. But I turned on the TV for 2 seconds, and I'm like, why is the AutoZone in Minneapolis on fire? What did they do? And I'm like, oh, the owner is broke, and there's going to be a lot of this. So the riots, what you people are doing when you riot in Phoenix, it's too hot to riot. We care, but we care inside. But Minneapolis had riots, and I watched Los Angeles have riots. You're just making it so people are rubbing their hands together going, oh, I can burn my business down now. This is great. Go walk by my place.
It was a riot.
And other people are like, it's a riot.
Yeah.
Merchandise.
I mean, if I owned a small business that was, you know, on the brink with this COVID thing, I'd be outside screaming racial slurs like crazy. I love the cops. Racial slur. And then they'd come and burn my business down. I'm like, yes, it worked. Then I'd be out of that thing. I'd get my insurance money, and I'd start over. But, yeah, I watch, and the AutoZone's on fire, and people are behaving like idiots up there in Minneapolis. And I'm like, I'm going to watch something more uplifting. 2020's got me down, and I don't want to blame the year. So I watched the first two episodes of that Jeffrey Epstein thing. That's fun.
Uplifting.
They will not point fingers in this documentary. They allude.
That's what I was wondering. Are they saying anything?
Because the people behind the documentary will disappear.
Well, it's James Patterson, the mystery.
None of the big names are getting floated around?
Oh, they're in there, but it's very passive. And you just would, like, there's a ton of pictures. Like, they keep showing him and his girlfriend, whatever this lady's name is. And they're with, like, Trump and Melania constantly because Mar-a-Lago is right next to where they live. And then Clinton is hanging around. And they keep showing all these photos alluding to the idea that look who he hung out with a lot. And then but they say very powerful people. They never name names. I guess by the third episode, you start getting the inference that Billy Boy was on the island, on the Lolita
Express. With a lot
Express.
Of world leaders.
And, like I said before, I don't think we want this to really, truly unravel because the people that are on there are the powers that be. And every angle you can imagine, business, politics, royalty, oil.
He was bringing people together.
But the cop, it's an amazing story when a cop's like, when I got to the 40th girl, I realized I didn't really need to investigate much more. And it took me about a month and a half to realize that he had taken the basics of a Ponzi scheme and used it for underage girls. He'd get one, tell her, go get three of your friends. Then they'd get like a few more. And then he had this pyramid built.
You get percentage off of everyone you recruit.
I got to 40 and I realized I didn't have enough construction paper to keep building my chart. And he goes, this should be enough. And 40 of them that were willing to talk. And the guy still didn't go to jail. It's a little boring. The first two episodes are basically like, come on, get to the, I get it. He's a bad guy. Get to, blame somebody, point a finger. But there's a lot of pictures of bad people. But that was my uplifting thing last night because I didn't want to watch current day riots. I'd rather watch
Jeffrey Epstein
post pedophilia.
Okay.
Because there's, that's uplifting in this year. And then Mike Tyson wants to fight Tyson Fury. And I'm like, he's going to die. It's 2020. There's no possible way that goes off without the death of Mike Tyson live on television. We got to have that.
Well, if he dies in the ring, he's doing what he loves.
Yeah, we haven't had a sport. No, weed is what he loves. He wants to smoke tons of weed now. And then he lost to a T-shirt last night. If you watched him try to, it's all over the internet. He tried to tear his T-shirt off on a wrestling thing. And the T-shirt clearly won, like by a lot.
Mike Tyson was on a wrestling again?
Yeah, he's doing some wrestling stuff again. And he's
making that money.
He's trying.
Hot boxing's doing well.
He's got his name is striking again, so it's crazy. Yeah, we're going to have a death on television. That's the only thing 2020 hasn't given us is a sports death on TV of an icon. We'll have that. Yeah, it's. I don't want to say 2020 stinks, but I'm starting to think you kind of have to blame the year.
First half has been pretty rough.
It's been a rough one. And I kind of almost want to coddle 2020. Baby New Year, I'm like, this isn't your fault. You didn't do this.
Not giving up on you yet, all the way.
Sure,
but it's close.
Sucks so far. I mean, aside from killing small talk completely, everything else you've done is terrible. You're asleep at the wheel, kid. Let's get a wake up song. 585-9800, a good one. We'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up! 98.
Station identification.